Last time, on Tales of the Ironlands, Kalaira Sophie's daughter parted ways with the Skarin tribe. But that very evening, she unwittingly made camp beneath the branches of an elder larch, a dangerous being which can exert mental control over other creatures. Falling under its sway, she set about watering its roots with blood, primarily from forest animals. But she also made an attempt on the life of Ainari, the failed leadership candidate who had left the Skarin tribe shortly before her. Ainari survived her attack by the simple expedient of running away, terribly fast. He later returned, bringing a rescue party consisting of himself, Varys, and Belisant, the two Kokari of the Skarin tribe. They confronted Kalaira and managed to help her shake off the Elder Larch's control. The tree itself, however, managed to escape. Free once more, Kalaira returned to her journey northward to rescue her father. Ainari accompanied her, partly because he had no pressing business elsewhere, and partly because he felt he owed Kalaira a debt for having given him an opportunity to get free of his tribe. They made their way to the hut of Alia'anor the Wise Woman and her grandson Tegan, pausing there to rest before the final leg of the journey. In the night, Alia'anor perished, slipping peacefully away in her sleep. The next morning, a distraught Tegan cast Kalaira and Ainari out. Kalaira wanted to stay and help bury Alia'anor, but he was adamant. As they left, Kalaira whispered a farewell to Alia'anor and heard a whisper back saying, "My time is over, and yours grows short." With this ghostly message echoing in her ears, Kalaira turned and fled towards her father and the Primordial. And that is where we're going to pick up. We are six progress into the journey back to the Primordial's cave. So I think we'll have to start by undertaking a journey. Alas, I did not share a bond with the community there. I tried to establish a bond with Alia'anor as I left, and it did not work. In fact, if I had established a bond with her before the sojourn move last time, she would probably still be alive, because it would have been a weak hit on the sojourn instead of a miss. Oh man, I can't believe I killed her with a sojourn move. I had plans for that NPC. Blast! Anyway. Kalaira turns and rushes through the forest towards her father and the Primordial. Ainari coming quickly behind her, perhaps for lack of any better plan. And here's our roll. I have an 8, 6 plus 2 is 8, versus an 8 and a 6. So that's a weak hit. And I'm going to mark progress. At the cost of one supply, plus one momentum, because Kalaira is desperate to get back to her father now. That drops supply to 2 and increases momentum to 8. It is late in the afternoon and the sun is beginning to dip towards the horizon when Ainari says, "Shouldn't we stop and look for some place to camp for the night?" But Kalaira glances back at him, her strange glowing blue eyes in her face, and says, "No, I need to get to my father. I'm going to press on. You can stay or come as you wish." And she turns and continues the journey onwards. Ainari sighs a little, but falls in behind her. 2 + 2 = 4 versus an 8 and a 3. So that's another weak hit. Get to mark progress again. That brings us to 10 progress on this dangerous journey. And once again, I am going to trade supply for momentum. Dropping supply to 1 and raising momentum to 9. Although they travel swiftly, night has begun her course through the sky before they come to the cave of the primordial. They are weary, and Kalyra is still distraught from the death of Aliatanor. They pause briefly as Kalyra stops and points down into a little valley. Down there. It's down there. You don't have to come. This is, in fact, I don't want you to come. This is something I have to do, she says. Wait here. All right, says Ainari. I will set up a camp, I guess, and keep an ear open in case things go badly. She smiles briefly. Thanks. You don't have to, but thanks. And with that, we are going to finish our journey, which is what? Arrive? Reach your destination, that's what it's called. And it's a progress move, so... I have 10 progress versus double ones. So that's a strong hit on reach your destination. I can choose either +1 momentum or an additional move at +1. I'm going to take the momentum, raising momentum all the way up to 10. I think that is the first time I've had it that high. And I think we're also going to mark progress on the vow to rescue her father. Because she has gone away, she has gathered information that she needed, and she's made her way back. It is, however, a formidable difficulty quest, and she has so far met only 4 out of a possible 10 progress. There is more to be told here. Or perhaps not. We'll see. Kalyra steps towards the dark opening of the cave. Pebbles crunch under her feet as she approaches. She makes no attempt to conceal her arrival. Within the cave, it is dark. She pauses for a moment and lights a torch that she made earlier out of a branch and a strip of cloth and some pine pitch. The flickering flames light the wall of the cavern, and she steps inside. From outside on the hill, Ainari can see her shadow stretching outwards from the cave mouth for a moment, and then vanishing as she disappears into it, bearing her light in front of her. Within, the cave seems more or less unchanged from the last time that she was here. She can see the marks of the fight that she had with the primordial. She can see the collapsed space at the back of the cave where she had hid. And then she can see 2 other things. Against the wall where her father was previously held, there is now almost a cocoon made of stone, growing up around him. She can still see his face, and one arm and shoulder is free, but the rest of him is held away, captive within a bubble of stone. And the other thing that she can see is the primordial, seated at the opposite side of the cavern from her father Baron. It lifts its head, eyes glowing orange specks between the cracks of the rocks that make its skull, as she walks in. She stops a good 15 or 20 feet away and says, "I need to talk." I've learned some things. Will you talk with me?" And I think she's going to make a compel with heart here. Three plus three is six, versus a six and an eight. Do I burn the momentum to make this a strong hit? Or do I pay the price? That's a lot of momentum. I think it's worth it. Yeah, this is a strong hit now. Burned 10 momentum, it resets down to just plus 1, because she is cursed. Actually, it goes to 0, and then I have to reset it later, I think. Alright, momentum is at 0. The primordial gazes at her in silence for a long moment. And then it says, "Speak." "I went and visited the firstborn, the elves. I spoke with Akukari. He told me that when this happens," she gestures, choking up a little bit towards her father, where he stands, sits in the wall. "This happens when someone makes a bargain with a primordial. It's the price they must pay. What was my father's bargain with you?" The primordial stands, its stones rumbling against one another, and it walks towards her, not threateningly, slowly. It says,
"Life for life."
"But what does that mean? What do you mean, life for life? Did you kill someone for him?"
"No."
And there is a cough from over at the side.
"Kalaira."
And she looks over, and her father has opened his eyes, gazing at her, past her. His eyes don't focus clearly. "Father," she says,
"tell her,"
says the primordial.
"Come here," says Baron.
And Kalaira glances at the primordial, which nods She steps towards him. Bits of loose stone clatter away from her feet as she approaches.
It is you, says Baron. Yes, father. I'm here. I came back. I said I would. Yes.
Tell her,
says the primordial.
Clyra. It was 24 years ago now. Your mother and I had been married for 2 years, and I wanted a son so badly, but we hadn't managed to conceive. Despite trying so hard. And then one day in the woods, I came across a primordial. I was out hunting, and I had brought down a deer. I looked up, and it was standing there, watching me. I don't even know how I missed its approach. Anyway, it spoke to me, and it took a long time. They don't speak very quickly, but somehow it knew what I wanted. It knew that I wanted a son. And so I bargained with it. A life for a life. It would give me a charm. A charm that would help us conceive. And in exchange, when the child was grown, I would give myself to it and be its child. A life for a life. My life for yours. And you weren't a son, but never doubt that I love you. I was a fool to try choose what kind of child. You're the child I got, and you're the child I love. But a debt is owed. It gave me that charm, and your mother conceived. And that is how we got you.
Tears are streaming down his face, and he lifts one hand to rub a matching tear away from Kalyra's face, rubbing a thumb across her cheek.
Is there no other way?
She says, and she turns to the primordial, and she says, you could take me. And it says,
you are not free, death touched.
She lowers her gaze. No, I'm sworn elsewhere. Is there any other price that we could pay?
And I am going to ask the Oracle about this one. Is there any other price that the Primordial would accept I think it is unlikely that there is any other price the Primordial would accept. 76 or higher means there is some other price. So here we go. $51. No.
No,
says the Primordial. It shakes its head slowly. Kalyra looks back at her father, encased in stone, and he says,
It's best this way. I should honor my debt. And I can't save you.
And he just shakes his head. Will he still be himself after? Kalyra asks the Primordial. Will he remember us? And the Primordial says,
like a dream.
So, only vaguely, like a dream.
I'm so sorry.
And I think she just sits on the floor of the cavern and weeps. The Primordial looks down at her, stony, impassive. Baron cannot reach her to offer comfort. And it is a long, dark time for Kalyra as she forswears her vow to rescue her father. She suffers 3 spirit damage, dropping it to 0. She was at 2, so I believe drops to 0 and also loses 1 momentum, putting her at -1, and then she endures stress. Heart is at +3, which is much better than 0, so 3 + 3 is 6 versus 4 and 3 for a strong hit. And spirit is not positive, so I cannot gain momentum. So the other option is to lose 1 momentum down to -2 in order to gain 1 spirit.
Hush, hush, says Baron. It's all right. I'm not dying. Just changing. Life is change. Only dead things don't change.
And Kalyra closes her glowing death-touched eyes at that. It doesn't really help. After a long time, she cries herself out. Finally stands, takes her father's 1 free hand, and says,
I would have taken your place if I could. It is better that I pay my own debt, he says. Is there anything you want to tell anyone? Tell your mother the whole story. I never told her. And tell her I love her so much. And know that I love you. I will, she says.
And she takes her torch and says,
I can't stay and watch this happen. I'm sorry.
Go, says Mrs. Barron. His voice is getting more rumbly, even as he is slowly transforming.
Go, and with my blessing.
A dejected Kalyra, shoulders slumped, turns and walks out of the cavern. The primordial walks beside her. They pause at the threshold of the cavern. And then Kalyra thinks of something. She turns to the primordial and says,
I seek the rose of light and shadow that grows in the shattered wastes beyond the veiled mountains. I'm sworn to bring it to the Black Lady. Do you know anything about this?
And she's going to try compel, plus heart.
She has a 5, 2 plus 3 is 5, versus a 5 and a 2,
so that is a weak hit. All right, so, plus one momentum, raising it to, oh, wait, no, my momentum was at -2, and I rolled a 2 on the die. That means that it was not, I had a 3 versus a 5 and a 2, which is still a weak hit. Huh. So, I still actually, a weak hit, on a compel. The primordial wants something in return. Ooh, that's interesting. I wonder what the primordial wants. I think we're going to have to ask the Oracle that. All right, Oracle. What does the primordial want in exchange for information about the Rose of Light and Shadow? Action. 89. Lose. And theme. Knowledge. Lose knowledge.
Okay. Gonna pause the recording and think about that for a while. Okay, I've been thinking about it for about 5 minutes now, and I am drawing a complete blank on lose knowledge here, so I'm going to re-roll and see if I can come up with something more workable. So, action. Came up a 19. Threaten. And theme, 51, stranger. That's a little more workable, I think. Going to
pause again and think.
Okay. That took quite a bit of thinking. I think threaten stranger actually means there is a stranger or a strange thing threatening someone. And I think I know who it is and what it is. The primordial leans down towards Kalyra and it says,
"Why should I tell you?"
Can I offer you a service? I can help you with, I don't know, whatever it is you need done?
Put down the Baron.
The Baron? What's that?
Ask your mother.
And with that, the primordial turns and strides back into the cave. Kalyra looks after it for a long moment, and then turns and walks back to the campsite that Inari has prepared.
"Ah, not dead, I see," he says. She just shakes her head. "So, did you, how'd it go?" She ignores him, unrolls her bedroll, crawls into it, and curls into a little ball, and cries herself to sleep. Hmm. That well, huh? Great. And we're gonna make camp. I hope this roll goes well, because I only have plus one supply at the moment. That's actually pretty good. 5 plus 1 is 6 versus double ones. Which means I actually forgot to give myself something or some sort of twist for the double ones on arriving from the journey. I think what that means is, for the double ones here, and also the previous double ones, I think Inari has discovered some edible plants very near the campsite, and also went hunting while Kalyra was in the cave last night, so I'm actually going to give myself plus two supply here for the doubles. In addition to that, the standard stuff for make camp is... make camp... it was a strong hit. Choose two. I'm going to use one of those just to reset my momentum, which resets to one, so instead of plus one instead of minus two. And then the other I will use to gain plus one momentum. In the morning, Kalyra wakes up to discover that Inari is cooking bacon. The smell of it permeates the camp. "Where'd you get that?" she says. "Oh, it's very strange. I found this young boar wandering around. Practically no more than a piglet, but its mother was nowhere around, so I thought, why not?"
Laughs Kalyra. "I think that must have been one of the piglets of the boar that killed me. There's a certain sense of irony here."
"Eat up," he says.
And so they have breakfast. "You ready to talk about it?" he says. "No." And with that, she packs up and begins heading south to Palinhan. So, where are you going now? He asks. Home. Okay. Well, I may as well tag along. I have no place better to be, and I've always wanted to go and visit the human lands. So, fine, she says. And they undertake a journey in uncomfortable silence. I think dangerous makes sense. And they undertake a journey. I have a 4. 2 plus 2 is 4. Versus a 4 and a 1. So that's a weak hit. Just going to mark progress. About halfway through the day, they pause for lunch. It has been uncomfortably silent the whole time. And they pause by a stream. I slipped in this on the way up here, Kalyra says. Lost some of my supplies in it. Should be careful crossing it. Good, says Inari. But he can't think of much else to say because her forbidding expression leads him to believe she's not really ready to talk about anything as yet. Here, he says, eat, and gives her some food. And undertaking the afternoon's journey. Oof, what is with the double ones today? It's the third set of double ones. And I rolled a 6 on the action die for a total of 8 versus double ones. I think more supply. I'm going to give myself plus 1 supply for that. They are able to they kill off another wandering piglet. Gaining a little bit of pork. And I get to mark progress. Nighttime is drawing close upon them, and Inari sort of gets her attention, lifts his chin up a bit, and says, "Hey, getting dark. We gonna camp for the night?" She says, "Fine." And as they settle in, I think she's going to make a heal check. She's going to say, "Here, let me look at your nose again." Okay, so she's got a 6, 3 plus, actually a 7. Because of plus 1 from Herbalist. 3 plus... Nope, it's only 6. It's wits. 3 plus 2 plus 1 is 6. Versus an 8 and a 10. Alright. He sits down on a rock. And she comes over and examines it. And... Ow! Hey! Sorry, she says. A little unnerved.
Hey, careful. Yeah.
Still tender. I think it's healing. I'll just leave it alone, then, she says. But I think she's going to suffer a spirit loss and endure stress, because that should have been pretty easy for her, and it wasn't. So spirit drops to 0, and she endures stress. Weak hit. 5 plus 3 is 8 versus a 5 and a 10. So she presses on. and they make camp. Strong hit. 6 plus 4 is 10 versus a 6 and a 1. So I think Kalyra really needs to take that plus 1 spirit from making camp. And for the second choice, plus 1 health, because she's a 4 out of 5. Kalyra is still in a black, foul mood in the morning. They eat more bacon, and Ainari doesn't even try to say anything. They eat breakfast in silence and move on. They're taking a journey for the day. It is wits, I believe. Yep. So, that is a 3, 1 on the die, plus 2 wits, versus a 2 and a 10. So, weak hit. Costs 1 supply, and mark progress. Kalyra and Ainari come to an open clearing in the forest. Although it is... the signs are clearly fading, but the leaf litter has obviously been disturbed not terribly long past. Ainari is trotting forward when Kalyra comes to a halt. He stops and looks back and says, "What is it?" "This is where it happened," she says. She walks over to a spot on the forest floor, which is just splashed with the darkening brown remnants of a massive bloodstain. And beside it, the corpse of a boar, now stripped of its flesh by scavengers. "This is where I died. This is where I saw the Black Lady and made my bargain." He comes and stands next to her. "Stupid boar," she says, and she kicks the skull. It goes clattering into the woods. And she kneels down on the forest floor and weeps for a while. Ainari reaches down and awkwardly pats her shoulder. "If it wasn't for that boar, maybe I could have... I offered to take his place, and the primordial refused because I'm death-touched." "Oh," says Ainari. "Bargains with the Black Lady are hard things." She just nods as bitter tears fall from her face onto the dried blood stain that she left there weeks ago now, a couple of weeks. "Let's get away from this spot," he says. "It's doing you no good." She nods numbly and allows him to pull her to her feet and move on, undertaking a journey for the afternoon. Five versus 8 and 10. That is a miss. And we are going to pay the price. All right, what does the price look like today, Oracle? 64. It is harmful. All right, I think what happens is, kicking that skull off of the boar was actually, she kicked that sucker really hard, and actually injured her foot. So she loses one health, she endures harm. I need to roll the action die also, right? Yes, okay, so 5 plus, gosh, someday I will have these mechanics memorized. Endure harm, higher health or iron. Health is at 4, so 9 versus a 4 and a 3. So that's a strong hit. And she's going to lose one momentum to gain that health back. Kalyra kicked that skull so hard she managed to bruise her foot. After just a good 10 or 15 minutes, she is limping heavily. And Inari notices and says, "You should rest that. No more travel today." And so they make camp halfway through the day. Five plus three is 8 versus a 6 and a 1. A strong hit on the make camp roll. 4 plus 1 spirit. And plus 1 momentum. And I think we're going to attempt a resupply roll during the afternoon here. Four versus a 7 and an 8. 2 plus 2 is 4. Inari goes out into the forest looking for supplies while Kalyra stays at the camp. Leaning against a boulder and staring moodily into the distance. But he comes back empty-handed. I think that is the obvious price for a miss on a resupply, is that you don't get any supplies. They eat dinner in silence, and finally, Inari says, "Look, you're going to have to talk about it at some time." She just shakes her head. "Not yet." "Suit yourself," he says. "The longer you keep it in, the more it'll chew you up inside." In the morning, they undertake a journey once again. 8, 6 plus 2 is 8. Versus a 7 and a 2. So that is a strong hit. I may choose to lose supply in order to gain momentum. Minus 1 and plus 1, and that is what I'm going to do. And I mark progress. Partway through the day, they come to the clearing where Kalyra had seen the stone covered with intricate whorls and carvings and lichen. So the question is, I'm going to ask the oracle, is the stone still there? I think I'm just going to assign it a 50-50 chance. 51 or higher means the stone is still there. 68. Yes, it is. "Is that a Cromlech stone?" Inari says as they pause.
"I think so," says Kalyra.
"What's it doing here?"
"Standing," Kalaira says.
I told Belisant and Varys about it. They seemed a little surprised and thought it means there must have been an elven settlement here sometime in the past. I wonder. She goes over and she raises her hand and presses it against the stone.
I'm going to ask the Oracle, what does she hear when she presses her hand against the stone? And we're going to roll on theme. A welter of voices, distant voices, wells up in Kalaira's ears. Some of them sound like they're singing. Others sound as though they're crying out in pain and suffering. She listens as long as she can and then pulls back, a little unnerved.
What did you hear? Says Anari.
Some people singing and others crying out. There was a word I heard.
What was it?
Tauti. Over and over again. Tauti.
It means disease in my tongue, says Inari.
Disease?
He nods. I wonder if the settlement here perished to a disease.
Maybe, says Kalaira. But if that were the case, why is there only one stone? There were seven among your clan.
I don't know, says Inari. Regardless, I don't think there's anything we can do about it at this point.
No, probably not, says Kalaira.
And they resume their journey towards Palinham.
Five, 3 + 2 = 5, versus an 8 and a 10.
As they are stepping away from the Cromlech stone,
Kalaira pauses and looks back. She can almost hear the stone whispering to her even now. Tauti, Tauti, Tauti. She says, and Inari pauses. Having walked a little further ahead, he turns back to look at her and says,
I need to find out. I need to find out what happened to them.
His eyebrows go up. Really? Why?
I don't know, she says, but I'm going to.
The price that she's paying here is that she can't let herself leave the area until she's discovered what happened to the elven settlement that once was here. So, she is going to swear an iron vow to discover the fate of the elves near Palinham. It's going to be a troublesome difficulty quest. And she's rolled a 7. 4 + 3 = 7, versus a 2 and a 1. So that is a strong hit. And she gains +2 momentum. That's nice.
All right, says Inari. We should look for a path. You mean like the fern-lined paths that I saw at the Skaren village? Very much so, says Inari. The ferns would have been planted, and their descendants may yet be there. So they begin a long, slow circle around the Kromlech stone clearing, and on the eastern side, I think, they find some ferns. There, says Inari, pointing. It may have been a path once, but in the intervening years, the ferns have spread, grown across the forest floor so that there's an entire patch of ferns there. That would have been the start of the path. We should go that way. The two of them walk through the patch of ferns, headed to the east. It's no longer a path, per se. And neither is it just an ongoing patch of ferns for the entire distance. But there are patches of ferns spread here and there, roughly following a line to the east. After about 15 minutes' walk, they come to the ruins of an outdoor cooking area, like the one that she saw among the Skaren. The ovens, made of stone and sealed with clay, have collapsed in upon themselves, worn away by rain and time. Looking around, they find no other signs at the moment of the elven habitation. Come on, it can't be too far now, says Kalyra. And she walks slowly through the forest, eyes upwards, looking for rope bridges or buildings in the branches of the trees. And I'm going to make a gather information check here to find out whether she finds that. So, wits. 5 versus a 3 and a 6. Plus 1 momentum and a complication. She is going to mark progress for the successful gather information check, even though it did come with a complication that we'll get to in a moment. That's 3 progress. Walking through the forest and looking up, Kalyra soon sees the remnants of rope bridges dangling from the branches far above. Here and there, one looks mostly intact, but for the most part, they have fallen into pieces, rotted away. Amongst the branches, the buildings similarly look to have fallen to pieces. Here and there a wall is standing. The floor platforms look as though they are uneven where they are intact at all. The roofs are essentially gone. But there is a complication, which is that as Kalyra looks at the ruins of this elven village, motion catches her eye. Turning her head sharply, she catches a glimpse of a masked face far above her in the canopy. Hello, she cries, and then it vanishes, turning and disappearing into the canopy. Inari, did you see that?
See what? He said.
There was a person there, a face, a masked face.
Oh, he says, and fumbles about in his bag and pulls out his mask. Careful of your nose, she says. Ah! He puts his mask on gently. I can't quite bring myself to walk around where an elf might see me without my mask, he says.
She looks at him and isn't quite up to smiling at the moment, but nods her head. We need to see that. We need to talk to them. They can tell us what happened here.
Do you see a way up? He says.
And she looks around. Nope. But there must be a way up if they've been living here. Come on. We should go find the rope ladders.
And they would be at the central tree, he says.
She nods. When they get to the central tree, they discover that it is dead. Black branches reach up to the sky. The ruins of the platforms up above, only adding to the crisscrossing branch work up above. There are no visible ladders of any kind.
I don't understand, Kalyra says. Surely whoever is living here must have a way up and down. I mean, they have to come down to get water and food.
I imagine so, says Ainari. But if so, either there is no rope ladder or they've pulled it up.
He looks around in the surrounding houses, says.
It looks pretty run down. I wonder how long this has been here.
Well, if we find whoever that is up there, we can ask them, she says. It's a good thing you're here. Otherwise, I might not be able to speak with them.
Well, let's get topside. Maybe we'll be able to find them, he says.
How do you propose we do that? She says.
I have a rope, and I can climb.
And we are going to make a face danger. Is it face danger or secure an advantage?
I think face danger, because climbing 60 feet up the fairly straight trunk of a tree is rather dangerous.
I can climb two, Kalyra says. She grabs the one end of the rope from Ainari and ties it around her waist. Setting aside her pack so that she won't have to deal with the weight, she clings to the side of the tree and begins to shinny up it, finding purchase wherever she can amongst the deep, craggy bark. She gets about halfway up, and then a section of the rotted bark gives away under her hand, and she falls to the ground with a shriek, having rolled a natural one on the action die, plus two is three, versus a four and a six. And she's going to pay the price, which is, I think, two harm and an endure stress roll. Endure harm roll. With a five plus three for her health versus a five and a seven, so eight is a strong hit. Plus one momentum, or trade minus one momentum for plus one health. I think I'll take the momentum, which raises my momentum to seven. Okay. Kalyra lands on the forest floor with a solid thump. She says, blinking hard and staring up at the crisscrossing branches highlighted against a cloud
high above in the early spring sky.
"You okay?" says Inari, leaning down over her.
"Oh, I'll be fine."
"Ooh. Let's try this a different way," Inari says, and he goes and finds a stone. And they're going to try and hurl that stone up into the tree attached to the end of the rope. So this is going to be secure an advantage with edge. 4 plus 1 is 5 versus a 1 and 5. So
they throw the rope up into the tree and it loops neatly over one of the broken portions of the platform, gaining +1 momentum.
"That should make it a little easier to get up there," Inari says, pulling on the rope to test it. "Not entirely sure I trust that," says Kalyra. "But seems to be the only way up, so
here we are going to make another face danger roll. This is going to be iron. Six plus 2 is 8 versus an 8 and a 2. So that is a weak hit.
And I think I'm just going to pay -1 momentum for the weak hit here.
Kalyra shinnies up the rope to the top of the platform, which creaks alarmingly under her feet. The boards are aged and weathered. Her foot slips, and then she reaches out and grabs the trunk of the tree and steadies herself. "Whew, that was close.
Mind your step coming up," she says.
"I will."
And Inari joins her, limberly coming up the rope. He looks around at the ruins of the place and says,
"This looks really old."
"Can we even get to the other trees from here?" she says, looking dubiously around. There is only one intact rope bridge to another tree. The others have all fallen, and the intact one looks very sketchy.
"Let's check the central chambers first and see if our mystery person is there."
They edge their way around the platform, testing each step and leaning against the bark of the tree for support, until they come to the opening into the central hall. And I'm going to ask the Oracle, is the resident elf in there? 50-50 chance. 51 is a yes. Lower is a no. I got a 96. Kalyra edges her way into the dim interior. There don't seem to be any of the glowing flowers that she has seen elsewhere, although she notices there is a pot with a dead vine growing out of it off to one side.
"Hello?" she cries. "Hello?" and steps in. "Can we talk to you?"
And the figure of an elf rises up from the corner of the room. The mask is old and white. And I'm going to ask the Oracle, is this a living elf or a dead one?
I think it is unlikely that this is a living elf. I need to roll a 76 or higher in order to get a living elf. So here we go. 29. The
figure rises up
in front of her, and Kalyra says, "Yes, there you are. Hello. Are you all right?" And Ainari comes in beside her and says,
"Who are you talking to?"
The elf, right there." She points.
"Kalyra, there's no one there."
"What?" She looks back. The white mask gazes at her, and then she knows. "Oh. Hello, spirit. I just wanted to know what happened here. I heard the Cromlech stone saying Tauti, Tauti." And, the spirit, how does the spirit react to the word Tauti?
I'm going to go just look over the theme table, I think. Maybe I'll roll. Yes, let's roll. Rolling on theme. 95. Warning.
The spirit moves forward, forward to Kalyra. She can see that now that it is not an entire living elf, but it is instead wispy, pale strands of light or gossamer. The mask comes right up to her face, and it speaks in a hollow, empty voice, and she understands it. It says,
"Welcome not the Baron into thy home.
The Baron," says Kalyra. "Of course, I have already been asked to deal with the Baron. Would that help you?" she asks. And the spirit does not respond, but black tears of blood begin to well out of the empty holes of the mask and stream down its white, white face, widening until the entire mask is slick with blood, and it says,
"Beware the Baron."
And then it fades away. "Wait," says Kalyra. "What happened here? Was it the Baron? Did the Baron kill you all?" But only silence answers her. "What's all this about a Baron?" says Ainari. Kalyra goes and sits on the floor next to the dead, withered vine of the flowers that once gave light. The primordial knows something about the rose of light and shadow, but before it would tell me, it asked that I deal with the Baron. Do you know what a Baron is?
Does Ainari know what a Baron is? I'm going to ask the Oracle. 50-50 chance. 51's yes. 55. He looks uncomfortable and says,
"You have heard about a hollow, obviously. Well, a Baron is like a hollow. It rises from the spirit of an elf, but not one who has been slain unjustly.
What causes a baron to rise? Kalira asks.
A baron rises from the spirit of an elf who has forsaken the mother's balance.
He looks away, walks over to the edge of the room, puts one hand against the tree, and gazes out into the forest. His back is to her, and she hears him say,
"A baron rises from the spirit of an elf who has become death-touched and failed in their quest to the Black Lady."
And that is where we're going to call session.